The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
As I was looking at this morning's conversation, I remember how when I used to work in investigation, we were trained to have a semi-photographic, semi-episodic memory because memory is so important. And I started thinking, if I lose that one day, I don't know what to do. Because I rely on it so much, you know.
Well, memory plays into everything that we're doing all of the time. And, you know, there are so many subconscious memories as well, driving our actions, driving what we're doing. I think it's a big fear for a lot of people about getting older, isn't it? Around losing your memory, forgetting loved ones. But there is a local company, now alluding to our next conversation, that has done extensive research on how the use of, get this, music is having such a positive effect on people with dementia. And on a level, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing myself saying this and saying this makes absolute sense to me.
So you associate music, I'm just guessing, we'll find out from our guests, associating music with a particular scene or a particular episode in your life. Maybe it's that, we'll find out. But this company, Sancare Asia, curates a music playlist for each client based on the history and conversations with their family, okay? Might be somewhat right.
Yeah.
And the reason for the research was due to the founder's father being diagnosed with dementia. The illness during that same period, he was keen to sort of find this non-conventional method to actively engage with his dad. How beneficial is it? I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, here in the studio with us is Johnson So. He is the director of Sancare Asia. We're going to delve into his story. It's great to see you, Johnson. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So apparently you were previously in the music and entertainment industry. So
yes.
Was that sort of where this journey kind of began? Obviously, you had this personal situation and you seem to bring that together.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was, like you mentioned earlier, I was from the music entertainment industry. So music is my strength and my forte. And my dad, who passed on, you know, earlier, last month, he had dementia a couple of years ago. So I was curious to find out how to engage my dad on a deeper level. So I did a lot of research online and I found out that using reminiscence music works very well with persons with dementia. So my dad, being my first guinea pig, you know, I tried it on him and it worked wonderfully. So it gave me a lot of courage and impetus to start the company. Yeah. So the company was started in December 2016 and we've been pretty much, you know, in terms of strikes, you know, come pretty far. So yeah, that's where we are right now.
I want to talk a little bit more about your dad, if you don't mind. Using this, back then I would say, an experimental method in that sense.
Yeah.
As a person on the other side, as a caregiver of someone who has dementia, were you satisfied? Did you feel that, hey, I've got some years back from this? I've got something back even though a disease has onset him?
Yeah, I think music works wonderfully. I think, you know, it has tremendous power in terms of harnessing, engaging a person regardless of his cognitive ability. And research has proven that music is actually the last thing you lose, you know, in your brain.
Before. Like tones and all that, right?
Yes, essentially. So, you know, things you forget, but when your favorite song comes on, the lyrics instantly comes to your mind. You know, that's the power of music. So with my dad, obviously, I know the kind of music that he likes. So in terms of engaging him thereafter, having conversations, talking about, you know, past memories, that worked wonderfully.
What kind of music was this?
Well, he used to like some Chinese folk songs.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So there's this Chinese folk song that he particularly likes. So every time the song comes on, he'll be humming along. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. How did you make that association between? Because initially when I found out about you and I started reading your story, it made sense to me. It resonated with me, the idea of, you know, music and memory. But then what specifically you do is you actually look at this person's personal profile.
That's right.
And then you match music up.
That's
so
right.
How did you realize that that's what you needed to do?
Well, there's a lot of online research. So I did a lot of research, you know, before I started the company. So everybody has a soundtrack to their lives, you know. For example, Manisha, you probably have some music that resonated with you through your formative years. Likewise for you, Elliot. So, you know, in a lot of nursing homes and senior activity centres, they engage in music therapy, but most of the time you have a music therapist come in with a guitar And there was Trump, the first song, which is a Theresa Ting song. Mm. The last song is a Theresa Ting song. I mean, that works for a lot of people, but that may not work for everybody. So what I do is a lot of investigative work as well. So I speak to the client's loved ones, find out about the person's background, the history, and try to put together a life story based on the music. So I speak to the clients as well, you know, depending on how conversant they are, and I visit their homes, I look at visual cues, photographs, okay. You know. So from there, I put together a music playlist, but that's not the definitive playlist as well, I must say. So what happens is, after having put together the playlist, I'll visit the client and we do the one-on-one connections. And throughout the 8 weeks, we'll observe the behaviors of the clients. And when there's any positive behaviors, we notice the songs. Mm-hmm. And at the middle of the program, at the fourth week, we'll revise the playlist again to be a little bit more definitive. So what we try and do is try to actually find the silver bullet, the songs that really resonate with that particular client.
That's incredible. You know, it's not quite the same. I accept it from the get-go, but I'm remembering the movie Awakenings. Now, obviously, that you know, there were drug treatment trials and all yes. that kind of stuff involved. What is beautiful about your example is there's no drugs.
Yes.
We're just talking about, I mean, this is music.
Yes, yes.
And then you're able to monitor this. Can you share with us maybe a story of a particular, obviously you don't need to name names, yeah. but can you share with us a story?
Yeah, I think, again, like I said, music works wonderfully. Like you mentioned earlier, it's true. It will take away the need of a chemical intervention because the easiest way to calm a person down, and people with dementia at times, and during sundowning hours, they get agitated, they get aggressive. And in some of the nursing home facilities, because of resources, manpower, the easiest way is to pop a pill, you know, the senior will calm down and they'll, you know, rest. But what we do and what we've seen at some nursing homes is there's one particular female client at a nursing home. She's, you know, regular daily outbursts, you know, and it's a constant menace to the nursing home staff and the residents. So it's not what she hopes to do, but she just can't help it. So on a normal conversation, for example, if I go in and I ask her, so Madam A, you know, how's your day today? And her first sentence will start with a Hokkien expletive.
Sure.
And
right.
then she'll say, oh, I'm not good, and she shouts. And then you ask her why. And then she will start again with another Hokkien expletive, and then she'll say, you know, I haven't eaten, for example. Yeah. But after having, you know, put her on the program, you know, it's amazing. Every time I walk into the ward, when the nurses see me, they're like, oh, Johnson's here, pull out a chair, you know, put it up chair next to Madam A. And she's totally calm after listening to the music. Yeah. You know, she doesn't shout, she doesn't scream. You know, she smiles, she's happier. She can even, like, conduct normal conversations on certain good days as well.
You get associated to that music as well.
Yes.
If I ever lose my mind when I grow old, the soundtrack of my life is located in Sparks Disco. Actually, on that note, how important is family participation? Because they would know yes. what their parents listen
that's,
to, right?
That's right. Essentially, the program is built on reminiscence.
Okay.
So what we do is we encourage caregivers to partake in the program, you know, with their
it helps with the research
ones.
Process as well.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, if it's a husband and wife team, then obviously you bring them back to their courting days, you know, so that's fantastic.
Right. So you need to know where that happened
yes.
or if you have photograph memories
that's
that
right.
helps. Okay. Yeah. Actually, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is if there are prescribed drugs, I mean, yours doesn't have any of it, do you face any challenge in that aspect? For example, and I'll just say it bluntly, a doctor who doesn't believe in this. No, you need drugs. What can music do? It's just music. How do you deal with all of that?
Well, there are always naysayers, you know, in any industry. So I think the traditional port of call, if a person falls sick, is to visit a doctor. If you have flu, you go to a GP. If you have, you know, chronic disease, you go to a specialist. So for this as well, if you have a loved one who has dementia, you know, traditionally you think you'll go to a doctor and a doctor will prescribe medication. So that's the traditional port of call.
Sure.
So using alternative methods like, you know, music is not something people would normally take to. So it's advocacy that I've been trying to promote over the last 3 years since I started the company, and it's an ongoing process. So yes, so like you so rightly mentioned, you know, some naysayers or doctors or medical practitioners may say, you know, why use music? Sure. But I think music is free, you know, music is non-invasive, and music is, and it has proven music can work on a lot of seniors with dementia. So, you know, why not adopt something that doesn't hurt? And we have seen it work as well.
Yeah. When I discovered that we were going to be talking to you, Elliot calls me the international queen of research, but I've delved into the research right. And I saw that you'd done a rather lovely article, actually. And I think it was it the Business Times or the Straits Times?
That's right.
Okay. So a great article there. And I kept checking, like, this is not a charity.
Yeah.
It's not a not-for-profit.
Yeah.
It's a company. And my first question to you when you came in was, how do you actually make money?
Yes, yes. Well, to be quite honest, it's a labor of love. You know, I left the music and entertainment industry after 20-odd years. So I was making pretty decent money. Mm-hmm. But again, I started a company because of what I wanted to do with my dad to start with. And because I seen it work. And with the first project I embarked, I started a project with St. Andrew's Nursing Home. And it worked wonderfully. It's the daily engagements with the seniors, and you see their faces light up. That just brings me immense joy. And I always tell everybody, it doesn't just uplift the seniors who are enjoying the program. It uplifts everybody in the room, including myself, the nurses, the occupational therapists as well. So that helped me going. So to answer your question, it's a labor of love. I wouldn't say that it's a money-making venture. We are still struggling, to be quite honest, now into our third year. But as we move year on year, you know, as there are a lot more acceptance because of the credibility of the program, we are moving, you know, in the right direction. Hopefully be profitable very soon.
When you say we, how many people are on San K Asia?
Oh, you're looking at me, myself, and I right now. Yes, yes, yes.
So then I'm curious. Okay, you've got the credibility as a musician.
Yeah.
How do you sell this idea to any care home?
Yeah, so essentially I do a lot of sharing sessions. I get invited to hospitals. I do sharing sessions with consultants, geriatricians, to nursing homes, senior activity centres. I visit, you know, mainly one centre or one hospital a week to advocate what I do. It is a one-person operation right now. But then again, we have also got a good pool of volunteers and part-timers that have come on board. Recently, what we've done is we actually launched a new program called Return to the Titans. So that is also built on reminiscence, but it's a group session. What we do is you try to recreate the tea dance of yesteryear.
I like that name.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, tea dances were popular in Singapore in the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
And essentially, this program is based on silent disco. I'm not sure if you guys are aware how silent discos work. Silent discos are essentially events where people listen to music through wireless headphones. Yeah. And if you don't have a wireless headphone, you walk into an event, you probably think this group of people are wonky, you know, they're just dancing and you don't hear anything. So that started silent discos in 20, 30 years ago. And then since then, you have silent auctions, silent plays, silent musicals. Over the last 12, 18 months, some nursing homes in the West, in the UK and Australia, thought, hey, maybe we can try adopting this concept with our residents here. And it worked wonderfully well. Mm. So earlier this year, together with Lian Foundation, you know, we piloted this new program called Return to the Titans. Essentially, it is a silent disco program, but it's easy to just bring it into Singapore and say, hey, this silent disco. Yeah. But because what we're trying to do is trying to create a reminiscence program, and it has to resonate with the seniors of today. So the seniors of today were growing up in the 50s and 60s back then. And tea dances, again, like I mentioned, was very popular. So we decided to coin it, Return to Tea Dance. And the pilot was rolled out earlier this year at several, you know, senior activity daycare centres. And the responses have been phenomenal.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it is good to hear. You say it's a labour of love. But what are your dreams? Where do you want to take this? Because I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, if there is a way that you come up with this franchisable idea, and you can take it to other parts of Southeast Asia where we're seeing lifestyle disease on the rise, aging populations, and more people talking about how can we make those years and how can we improve the quality of life in those years. And then to have your background in music and entertainment, how can you engage music companies to be a part of this?
That's right, that's right. I think you know, it is a fantastic CSR project for, you know, a lot of companies, not just for music companies, for, you know, big organizations who are looking into doing some sort of charity, you know, for the community. So yes, you're right. You know, my dream obviously is to grow the company. During one of my first meetings, you know, people look at my name card, they say Sendcare Asia. Why Asia? That's my dream. You know, hopefully one day we'll be able to grow the program beyond our shores and to, you know, some of the neighboring territories as well.
Yeah, and you've got to understand all the types of music in this region as well. Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
Johnson, I want to do you a solid. If anyone wanted to reach out to you to find out more about your program, Sendcare Asia, how can they do that? Facebook?
Yeah.
Search you up?
Yeah, you can search me out on Facebook, on social media. We are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. Yeah, search me up. You can find my email address as well on the social media.
I think it was quoted in the article, wasn't it?
Yes. We actually were quite fortunate. Besides Business Times, Straits Times as well, they did a story on us. So there is a nice little video that the Straits Times did. So if you want to know more about the program and how it actually works and benefits our seniors, go check out the video.
Johnson So, director at Sendcare Asia, in the studio with us. Johnson, thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.